this week's Parshas Pinchas, we're going to be, the first one is a long Akedah, which speaks about a very, very important topic. Discuss it, the concept of Achdus, or Echad, and Shlemus, as being almost synonymous. It's a very important Nekuda as regards when we speak about Hashem as being Echad, and there's this seemingly unusual emphasis that being the most important character trait of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's as if, we can understand people believe in God the Almighty and God the Infinite, but the one God as opposed to two or three or whatever it is, while we don't have the truth of it, the fact that this is sort of the spearhead of our proclamation and so on is a bit strange. We talked about it a long time ago when we spoke about the basis of Emunah, etc. But he's going to explain it. In his explanation, there lies understanding that the concept of one is much more than just a number and so on. He starts out by being a Tanchuma, and it says that when Pinchas went to kill Zimri, there was a big fight between Klal Yisrael, and they called him names, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he's a son of Aaron. So he says HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the Bris Shalom. So he's going to explain this Chazal, in other words, the Bris of Shalom, and so on to Pinchas. Paragraph. Lios HaTorah Lokis Ve'im Hashem V'am Hashem Elu Shomer Tzasel Mesiaftim Husam. And being that Torah and Klal Yisrael Kvar Yomer Aleim Shu Chatoi Moshleim B'matzav Echot, they speak about their Averis and yet they speak about their Shleimus. Omnom Yeh Inyan HaMishpat Ezeh Keshe Zbaya. We're going to explain what that means. V'zeh K'mevua L'chachamim K'mederech Kol Dovah Shalem Shalayas Echot. Chachamim understand that which is complete, that which is a complete entity, is one. Ad kiyo echot v'asholem yirim b'adofa. One and sholem is something which is almost synonymous. And he defines that, ki ato im taniach dove echot, v'titztorech loyse dove echot olav. If you have something which needs something else to be mashamit, or legroa menon hashemosay, or to take away from it, hine ein echad min achalokim sholem. Not one of those parts is complete in itself. Veneroy lekari echad, and that should not be called one. So, for instance, if I have a glue, we have to mix two things together, they have these epoxies that you mix two tubes of stuff together. So each, as you see the two tubes, each tube can't be considered Dove Shalem because it's not one. Or let's say you need to do something, so you need to take away some part of it, some element of it. That also means this is not a Dove Shalem. Hine ein echad mechalokim shalem and roi lekar echad. So you can't consider any of the parts as being the thing or a complete thing. Omnom, kibbutz advar mashlimim, when you put together the things that are mashlim each other, yikore inyan echot, it's called one inyan. K'mo shahanisha acha, first at the sev yosham echot. So let's describe what he's saying. Let's say a person has a person has some material which can be used as a building material, but you need to dry out the water from it. You need to get rid of the excess moisture. So as it stands now, I define it as two pieces, and therefore it's a thing that's not a Dove Shalem. It's got the building material and it's got the moisture, which is in addition to it. They don't complement each other. They don't together form something. So I have pieces, and the melech by definition is not a shalem. let's give a description of what is Shalem. Let's say a person has a chair, and he gets it delivered from the warehouse in pieces. Those pieces are such that they snap together and become the chair and become one unit. Well, so in that case, I say what I have here is one chair, because all of these pieces come together, become one unit, and that's their true metzias. So whenever I have something which is complete as it is, requires no effort, not to add, not to remove, then it's called one, and the smoothing of oneness means it's both complete, self-contained, self-sufficient, and so on. And then he starts bringing, he's going to show where, when you have different elements, even though they're distinct parts, but if they click together, then it becomes one unit. For instance, let's say a person goes in to buy a car. A car may have 25,000 pieces, but what it drives out is called a car. It's one entity because all the pieces click together in a way that complement each other and create a larger overarching tzura. Just like the word one can be used when you're singling out something, like it says, there is a one person who's come to live with us by Lot, when he didn't like the fact that he was being holier than them. And so on. Hine says, just like it's used on the one hand for the opposite meaning, where it's something that's distinct apart from the others, one is used also to describe something which includes all the pieces and makes a new entity, which is Solomon itself. And he brings an extraordinary good raya. Amma, it says, Vayera Vayvoka Yom Echad. It was evening and it was day, and now it's one day. Yorah, this teaches us, Kitashnu Mazman, Ashrinos Yisna Hashem Shkesas Hayom, Al Shir Mashisno Bo Bekes HaLayla, Hu Yom Shalem Ve'Echad. When you have a complete day, which means the daytime and the nighttime together, and the sun has taken both around, then you have one day. Hu Yom Shalem Ve'Echad. And that's why it doesn't say your mission, because we're really describing the Torah is saying when it was night and day, which to us are two phases, together they are a day, a halachic day, and therefore it's now Yom Echad. You have the day. And then he says, he brings the writers Chalom Paro Echadu, like we told him, the dream is one. So Rashi says, what does it mean? Vine Chalom Shalem Lefanav. It's both. In other words, by both parts of the dream, the two dreams together create one understanding of a dream. He says the same thing as what the Navi says about Avram Avinu, that it says Avram was one. He says a man and a wife are like that, that they become one, like it says Boy Labasa Echad, because together they become one unit, inseparable. As opposed to, for instance, two friends, they add to each other, they help each other, they're good for each other, but you don't say that the two created one unity. So Ish and Isha, where they create one Metzias, that's called Voilabasa Echad. To that the word Echad can apply. To friendships, it doesn't apply. Then he says, the next piece, it's a Zohar. Ubimedesh HaNe'lam. It says, parenthetic piece about what he says about Ish V'Isha. There's a fascinating Maral. The Maral says that he sort of poses a hakira, so to speak. Which one is true? Do birds of a feather flock together, or do opposites attract? Which one of the two is right? And you know, besides the fact that both of them, I once read a book that had all of these proverbs that associate each other. It's a huge book of, you know, striking when the when the hammer is hot versus patience, and this, the rolling stone gathers no moss versus something else. You know, all of these verses associate each other. But the moral declares, do opposites attract, or do birds of a feather flock together? Both have a maimon and chazal, you know, kolayf lemineo yishkon, and so on. So he answers as follows: the primary, dynamic is birds of a feather flock together. People, when they look for friends, tend to look for people that are like them. So people that are artsy look for artsy people. People that are nerdy look for nerdy people. People that are kind of very active and all over the place, that's their friends. That's norm. So the exception is when one is a hashlama to the other. So for instance, let's take an example of business. So the people I want to hang out with tend to be people like me. When running a business, if my nature is to be very daring, I'm going to look for somebody who's very conservative and cautious to serve, to complement my impulsiveness, and vice versa. So he says, in marriage, the Zohar and Nekeva are hashlamas to each other, and therefore marriage is built on opposites. And it's an important understanding in how to cope. The people find it easier to cope with people that are like them, and it creates less tension, less friction, but it leaves gaping holes. So if I tend to be an emotional person, I'm surrounded with emotional people, there's nobody there to add any mishkal of the seichel. On the other hand, if I'm if we're very, very intellectual people, and that's what I hang out with, nobody injects any life, any spirit, it's also not good. A man and a woman, the differences create the tensions, and the resolution most of the time is in recognizing that those differences are deficiencies, and she's adding things that I don't come equipped with really well, and I'm adding things that she doesn't come equipped with. It's a Maimra Musker about. But at any rate, he now says another Indian, and this is spoken about, people use the term, but he explains it much more. It says, Yisrael v'kutcha b'richu v'araisa chadhu. In the Zohar it says, "Dechar v'loy nukvas plagu v'ikri." A zohar and a kev is a half a guf. Uplag lav yuchad, and a half is not one. In other words, well, that's obvious, but he's saying it means the one in the sense that we'll be using it means a davar shalem, and plag is not. V'kadis chavrum kechado trei palga, and when two halves join together, Isavidu chad guf, they become one guf, ukedein ikri chad, and now it's called one. So when you have two halves of a whole joined together, that becomes that's called chad. V'razer milsa, kivan the kneses yisrael begalusa, bekutcha brichu siligalma. Since Kaisel is in galus and Hakadosh Baruch Hu has gone up into Shemayim, in other words, he's above or beyond Kaisel. Zivuga is parish, they no longer are together, v'lo ikri chad, and it can't be called one. The Zohar says, Eimasei ikri chad, when can they be called one? Bishata de matrinisei shtaka gabe malka v'shakin chada, when they're together again. Ha'hod k'siv v'hoizel Hashem ha'mlucha, man melucha k'nesis Yisrael, de malka bo yikasha, k'den bo yi Hashem ha'chshmo echad. So, in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol in this world is there only when him and Knesset Yisrael are seen as two sides of the coin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the content, Knesset Yisrael is the expression of it, the fulfillment of it. If there's any division, if there's any discrepancy between these two things, then we don't have Shechin in this world. Now he says, so that's Klai Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another place where we have Echad, which says Klai Yisrael is Echad. At Echad v'shimcha Echad u'mi ka'amcha Yisrael goy Echad ba'aretz. What does it mean they're goy Echad ba'aretz? The Hineis, he says, al zeh yifna atzah makosuv, al zeh ha'am aloiki goy Echad ba'aretz. This is the point about which we Hakadosh Baruch Hu said about Klal Yisrael that Goyachet Baruch. Kimoy Shaderech Afrodim Azulas Omeshishay Melachos Rein Pelaksan Ozi Mispa Achzi Neset Hamasi. Va'inyan Arishna Kavana Boy Ki Im Heyoyis Im Hashem Eile Rabbe Mispa B'Hashem Shifteim Hine Ein Inyan Metziusi Ribo Nifrim Uhusay Rakunom Poinim Al Achtus Echot Sholeim. So he says the pasuk says there are 60 melachos and 80 palakshim, alomos in mispa, achzi yonis tamasi. So he explains Klal Yisrael puts down the focal point, which brings the umos together. In a sense, let's explain this a little bit. Let's say a person has a big estate. He's a very wealthy man, he has a big estate. And you drive up to the estate, and you have gardeners, and you have guards, and you have the cooks and butlers, and I don't know, you know, if a guy has a stable, he has stable boys, and all sorts of wonderful things going on there. That's all a ribuy of different things. And as long as that's all we see, then we appropriately say, I saw a lot of people there, a diverse group of many people. When the owner comes, or in other words, I mean to say conceptually, the owner is the one point that brings everything together. I need a cook, and I need a gardener, and I need a butler, and I need a chauffeur, and I need this, and I need that. Then I have it, that gives it its points, they're all one. That's what the pasuk says. Klaus among the umos is, Shishere melochos shmoni pelaksham lozei misper. There is an extraordinary plethora of all sorts of umas olam and different things and so forth. Achas, you know, so much of Christ was achas, and it brings an achas to all of them. And then he says, "Ukva yisdam." Next paragraph. For example, yisalo b'shnei liyonim. Christ was done in Kadosh Baruch Hu in both ideas of echoris. Kihu yisala, k'mo shenema by achdos al derech hafrod gemura mikol shayin tzar shasa. Just like it speaks about Kadosh Baruch Hu echod, meaning he is not of the world, but he is the world. So therefore he says, the one thing we say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that he is one in the sense that there are no pieces missing. All the pieces fit into that structure in order to give it achdus and shleimus. And then he says the next piece is for ulam haTorah Elokis, Torah itself, he says, is not many wonderful mitzvahs. In other words, if we look at the Torah as being 650 mitzvahs, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a lot of chances, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a lot of opportunities, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us a lot of credits and points. That's not correct. Rak tashlum ugmar dova, shekol mitzvah mitzvah kumo eva echad bechila ki'inyan evarei adam. V'kul yadon shalom. So just like on a person's body, there are no extra pieces. Lomo, so if I have money, so I say I need $1,000 to do X, Y, or Z, here's an extra $100, I have more money than I need. It's an union of quantities. When you're talking about a human body, then a human body is exact. You don't say to somebody, well, you have so many toes, you wouldn't be a problem if you lose a finger or two. You need the exact amount of toes, the exact amount of fingers, the exact amount of ears, and everything that you have, you need. And together, it becomes one inyan, one unit. So, about mitzvahs, the mitzvahs in the Torah are not many, many wonderful options, things we can do. It's suggestions, or even commands. They're not 613 commands. They are the 613 subdivisions, bits that comprise Torah. V'kulam yachri nishon, together, that's why Torah is called Torah Hashem Tmima, Yirat Shleima. And he says, and that's the meaning of the Chazal when they say there's 248 kemis be'evri Adam and shasa kemini gidden, because it's an exact analogy. Just Torah is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael, and Torah are all pieces that the word Echad is shayach to, and Echad describes a situation where you have pieces, but they add up to something that is much bigger than any one of those pieces. And then he says, let's take a look. He says, in a certain sense, if a person is over one mitzvah, we can consider being over on Torah and Boif and Kalali. And if one person sins, then we can look at it as all the castle sinning. And he brings the rise from Achan and so on. And the way he explains it is, in other words, if Kali Yisrael were 600,000 people, many, many people tried to do a good thing, so if one or two people sin, we shouldn't really, really say, you know, everybody should suffer or should be a big deal. You know, that's not a problem. And the answer is, yes. Let's say you have a school, and you're doing marvelously with 98% of the Talmidim, then the 2% that are not doing so well, you feel bad about it, but you say, you know, 90% is a great percentage. But let's say in the army, if 2% of the army is not performing, you're 100% vulnerable on those 2%. So if the enemy happens to attack at the one gate where the guy is snoring, the watchman, then they go through. It's very, very different. If there are many, like for instance, you have many students in a school, it doesn't really add up to an achdus. It's not all the students together form one unit. It's just the school has many students. So one individual, his merit is only a percentage of the entire body. But if you have something where every piece snaps together from one, it's a very different perspective. Yes, Pinchas.
But Rebbe, there still is an inherent value to every mitzvah that an individual does. I mean, it's not an all or nothing proposition.
Correct. Either. Correct. But a person, you're right that it's valuable in its own piece. But a person shouldn't feel in any way good about the mitzvah that he's missing. That, you know, well, but I have so many good mitzvahs going on. What's the problem? It's not analogous. It's just like if somebody has hit the $1 million I hope to make. I made $850,000. Says, okay, you know, it's something. But if a person, when a person makes a cheshbon as to what he's missing, then he's missing something. It's always a crucial piece. It's the essential piece in the bigger picture. It's one of the reasons why many people try to be mekayim all sorts of exotic mitzvahs. So, you know, you always ask, well, did you finish all the non-exotic mitzvahs? Did you finish with Lashon Hara and learning and chesed and davening and so on and so forth? The answer is no. I mean, at least for myself. But you really want, but there is an inyan that at least once in my life made a pidyon petach hamor, once I've made this. And again, it depends each person where he's holding what his madrega is and what he's missing in life. But still, understanding that there is a connection, every mitzvah is a shalom and nothing. Yes?
Could this also have to do with part of the availus of the korban of the Beis HaMikdash and that there's a whole chelak?
Correct. If you really look at it, I spoke about it a few Tisha B'Av ago. The amount of Torah that we're fulfilling is like a Reformed Jew, you know, compared to what there is. Most of the mitzvahs are not shayach to us. If the Beis Hamikdash was built, or we'd fly back in time till this, we would be even worse, less than a Baal Tshuva. None of us has a clue about Tumah Taira. None of us has any sense about Kachim or anything like that. So we're missing that chelik. And like we said before, if it was an inyan of quantity, if it was measured in pieces and bits, so then it would not be affected by what you're lacking. You can make up for it. But like Takeda says, these are all parallel inyanim that function under the rubric of pieces that constitute a whole. So it's Torah, it's Kal Yisrael, it's Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Kal Yisrael, and so on. And that's why he says, when Ochan, and same thing with every person in Klal Yisrael. So that's why if one person is Chote, there's room to be Mochiach Ol Klal Yisrael, to punish Klal Yisrael. Another good marshal would be if a person let's say a person is missing a kidney, a person can function without a kidney, and it's not a problem. Let's say a person has a cut in his skin in one place. The person can get an infection which would affect the entire person. Because the skin, a kidney is an organ with a function that it can process a quantity of material. So more cells than you need, more can you need is great as a reserve, but it's measured in terms of quantity. But the skin only works when it completely covers the body. So a small cut on the skin potentially poses a danger to the entire body, more than missing a kidney in a sense, because those things that the metzius is described in terms of your body is covered, if it's not covered in one place, it's like it wouldn't be covered in many places. And that's what so he explains and he says, and therefore when there's a mitzvah in those areas where we're told to kill somebody, he says it is like we're cutting a limb out of like a diseased limb. For the person who is Rachmana Litzlan faced with amputation, we say the following: if your guf is to include all of your limbs, you will die. If your guf is restructured, so now that you have only three limbs, so then at this point you can live, because you can't say, well, it doesn't, you know, migu that I could have cut it off, so let's make believe it doesn't exist. If your tsura is a tsura including all those limbs, then a limb that's pagum is pagum the entire guf. If your tsura doesn't include it, then it's a smaller tsura, it's a less developed tsura, but it is a complete tsura and can last as such. Therefore, he says, if a person does that, if a person takes out that diseased thing, so he doesn't, whenever you take out a diseased limb, you're not healing the limb, you're healing the entire body. So the person who amputates the infected toe is healing the entire body. And that's what he says about Pinchas, that he was, the brisi was a bris sholem, that's the thread of thought that he has here, because by taking out the piece that was festering, then the entire klal could work and so on. He then goes on to explain the next paragraph is that's how Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the mitzvah of Bal Tosef Mal Tigra. He says, because Bal Tosef Mal Tigra are not, I mean, let's go slowly. L'chor Bal Tosef Tos seems to be counterintuitive. We may say it's not necessary to do more mitzvahs. We may say it is burdensome to do more mitzvahs. We might say that if you spend time doing mitzvahs that you don't need to do, you take away from other mitzvahs. We could give a whole bunch of reasons that it's not wise to do more. But why is it on par with taking away? What's about Tais about Tigra? What are the two? And it says, Einechem Rosh Hashanah Shem Baal Pa'or. L'chura, the Baal Pa'or had nothing to do with adding and so on. So that Keda explains the Bal Tosef and Bal Tigra are two very fundamental mitzvahs, averis, because they both destroy the understanding that Torah is a miksha achas. If Torah is a series of different, if it's a collection of wonderful deeds and opportunities, then it's not miksha achas, then Torah is not echot. And you could be mosif, if somebody is writing a book collecting wonderful advice for life, so that he can add thousands and millions of wonderful advices, that's fine. If a person, for instance, has a cookbook, you don't add at will and you say, well, I'll add things. It has to, you're talking about coming out with one tafshel at the end, and either this integrates into it or does not integrate into it. The Issur Bal Tosef Mal Tigra are fundamental Issurim, because somebody who's Moisif is Megareya in the sense that that the entire thing is falls apart. It's no longer one unit. It's now bits and pieces. And that's what he says. I'll quote the line that he uses: "Hatosefes v'chisaron yafsidu tsurat mimus legamri." Teres Hashem tmimus. It's like we'll say, listen, if a person is missing a nose, it's not good. He's a balmum, right? If a person has a nose, he's not a balmum. If a person has a nose that's three times as long as usual, then he should be a super handsome person. It doesn't work like that. In any time we're talking about a tsur of tmimus, and that's why a kohen, he says, chorum oy sarua, it doesn't make a difference. Whichever direction the Tosefos or Gerorim going, it's mafsid that tsura. And then he says, that's what we saw it from Baal Pa'or. He's explaining the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, you shouldn't be Muslim Gareya, you saw what Kadosh Baruch Hu did in Baal Pa'or. So he explains it in the last paragraph we have here. Re'eze Zar V'Nifli says, She'ein HaPe Yochol Omroi, She'kulam Chotu, V'kulam Tveikim Hashem, V'kulam Nishmorem, V'kulam Chayim. He says, what does he mean to say in the Pasuk? It says in the Pasuk, you shouldn't be watching, Einechem Arois HaShasar Baal Pa'or, and so on. He says, the fact that you saw that one person being diseased affected the entire Klal Yisrael, and when you got rid of that one piece, everything snapped into place, then you realize that the bits and pieces are exact and precise. It's not you can add more and so on. It's just like, let's give an example. Let's say you have an army. So let's say you have an army of 1 million soldiers. That's what you need. You have an extra 100,000 soldiers. So if 10,000 soldiers got sick, you still have plenty of soldiers to fight. Because each soldier is a unit in itself. But let's say you integrated the 1,100,000. Everybody got a job. So you gave smaller jobs per person. Now if one soldier got sick, and you're missing something. You don't say migu, that you could have not had the soldier b'chol. So now that you have him, it doesn't affect you. Once something becomes part of a whole, and that's the pshat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu show you from Baal Pa'or is that there are things in the world, Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah, that the pieces there are seen as part of a tzura tmima, not as many pieces, and therefore it has to be perfect, and adding or taking away has the same bad effect. Maybe we'll see one more piece, and that's an ikrim. It says, "V'chein amor hinei noitzas bris yisholim." I'm giving him a bris sholim. Now, what does the word sholom mean over here? So he says, we find the chenim, so the ikrim says, Shaftoch HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzadikim osim akiyim v'asmarik shalom. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises to a when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises to tzadikim that he will give them eternity of sorts, that's called sholim. Omei Shem Yisbaruch al Pinchas Hines Es Bisi Sholim. Well, lefi HaKabbalah Oimeres HaPinchas Al Yo Yepirish HaSholim HaSmarim V'kiyam Shaguf. So sholim means long life. What's the pshat? Why is that called sholim? It's a nice thing to live long, but why is that called peace? And it's also very interesting when we greet somebody, we greet them with the lashon of sholom, sholom alecha, sholom aleichem. So he explains, v'zeyeh kishetasmid haskama ben ha'yisoydes hafeichim be'inyen shlo yigba hefer ha'echad ala acher. If you think about it, the person's body consists of checks and balances. We have a hormone that processes sugar, and then you have a hormone that we have something that measures sugar's gone down too much, stop processing sugar, and let it accumulate. Hormone A says take sugar, make fat out of it. Hormone B says take fat, make sugar out of it. And everything in the human body is a balance. Almost every disease is with a balance that gets upset. There is something that tells the cells to start growing, and there's something that tells the cells to stop growing. If the growing instructions are stronger than the stop-growing instructions, you end up with cancer. Vice versa, you end up with something atrophying and not being able to grow, and so on. So a person's internal well-being depends on balances, and inevitably, old age and disease deteriorate that, and the person is, you know, one or the other. Something is out of kilter. So when you have a bris of shalom, means that literally the balance, your internal balance, will remain, and therefore, there's no longer reason why the person should dine anywhere. It says the pshat brisi hoya itoy. It says about the kohen that I made a covenant with him, hachayim v'shalom, life and peace. Yerozeh. Because he's saying life and peace is one thing. We could v'chein pshat hina nechasayachom sayanovi yeral yisal yor adayin kaim v'guf v'nefesh. I want to add something sort of about past, sort of as Ashlamet it. There's a famous word from Rabbi Saul Salanter. The struggle with the Musa movement when it started, like all movements, there was opposition to it. And the main opposition to the Musa movement was that because people would be focusing on character building and so on and so forth, there would be a diminishment of learning Torah, they wouldn't be the godless Torah that there was. You would have gedolim of lesser stature, there wouldn't be the godless Torah. To which Rabbi Saul Salanter was said to reply, the halacha is if you have a choice of making a bracha over a sholem or over a gadol, you have a big piece of bread and a whole loaf, you go with the whole loaf. A sholem always trumps gadol. So he said, even if the price of gadol, sholem is more important. But there's something, there's a deeper nekuda here, and I think it's an important, you can go quicker. For instance, let's say in business, now we've lived through a difficult kufa, you can expand business rapidly by focusing on investments and stretching your resources to invest, and neglect the safety belt, the safety net, for when investments sour. And certainly for a tekufa, you're going to get much better results than if you had a rounded portfolio. If you had a portfolio with quick growth stocks, it will shoot really well and leave the other guys behind in the dust. But that approach, at some point, will flip. It will flip around, because something which is not balanced does not last. The same thing is true in Ruchnius. If a person is growing in Torah, you have Talmidim and so on and so forth. So you can go as follows. You can say, we will put all our accelerators in the Torah department. So learn even if it's coming with a competitiveness. Learn even if it's coming with bad meters and so on and so forth. And you know, if you push in that direction, you might get some stronger results in the learning. And the argument will go, well, it's more for the meters or whatever it is. It's not even true that you'll get more learning. You'll get more learning in the short run. But if the person's ruchnius is imbalanced, it will fall over. So if you haven't worked on his gaiva, and you're afraid that by knocking his gaiva a little bit, he's going to not want to learn so much. If you haven't helped him come to grips with his kina, with this, with that, there will come a point where those things will be to his detriment. He's going to be jealous of somebody else and so upset that he's not as good as the other person that he'll drop the learning, because the Achilles heel is going to be there. Torah is, in all its mitzvahs, is one shlemus. Talmud Torah might command the entirety of time, but the shlemus of Torah is from Breishis Hayesod, everything that's inside it, the Torah, the Musa, the Mitzvahs, the everything that's included in it. It's not only a question of more important, less important. There's a tremendous Zohar in the Ikrim here. Things that are not balanced do not last. So, and you see it, a person who has glaring failures in one area or another area, is those failures will erode the progress in the other area. And you see it, what makes the problem more complex is, you can't, even Shlemus, from an educational, pedagogical point of view, you can't do everything at once. You can't sit down with a Talmud and say, this are his chesronos, let's work on all of them. It doesn't work like that in real life. You focus on one nekuda, and you push ahead, and then you fall back, clean up some of the other stuff and bring that to the fore. It's just like a person when he walks. One foot goes forward and the other foot follows. That's tavolum. So you take a kid and you say, okay, this kid's got A, B, C, D, and E has problems. Let's work on B. Let's work on C. We always have situations where there is somewhat of a lag. But you need to be sensitive and understand this. This site is nitzchius is kosher to shleimus. The only things that have in themselves the seeds of nitzchius are those things that are balanced from a Torah perspective. So the Tayag mitzvahs are all part of the inyanim that contribute to the longevity of the person's ruach hiskel hoda. Okay.